Welcome, everyone, to the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza, of course, brought to you by Bucky's Fifth Quarter. This is Jay Kukorowski. We got the Polish Rifle, Scott Wisniewski here. Welcome, everybody. Just a week from Christmas. It's crazy. Obviously, we'll be talking some bowl chat, maybe not this week, but next week, talking about the Cotton Bowl, the Badgers, and Western Michigan, the undefeated Broncos. So we'll talk about that next week a little bit more. But this week, we're going to focus primarily on, we got right now the Green Bay Packers out to a huge 17-point lead most of the way through the third quarter, of course, then squander that lead, only to take it back in the last minute in the closing seconds with Mason Crosby's field goal to win 30-27. We got the Polish Rifle Scott Wisniewski here, too. We got from Acme Packing Company, we got Tex, Western Tex. How you doing, buddy? I know you're out in L.A. How is that California weather?
Oh, man, it's a heck of a lot better than it was in Chicago today, that's for sure. I'm walking on the beach right now, to be perfectly honest with you, and I can deal with this for a little longer than I get a chance to this week. So, but heading back tonight, and I'll be back to good old glorious cold Midwestern weather by tomorrow.
Yeah, it's terrible up here between the snow and the cold. But let's jump right into the game a little bit today. And before we went on here, Jake, man, we talked about the defense and, you know, how poorly they played in the fourth quarter. And one of the things I pointed out was things like that usually go hand in hand. Yeah, the defense was getting beat up a little bit in the fourth quarter after playing real solid for three quarters. But a lot of that also, I think, was a byproduct of some ineffective offense in the fourth quarter, some three and outs and things of that nature. But overall, you look at the game, and I've always said, especially when you're hunting for a playoff spot, a win's a win, and, you know, style points don't seem to matter too much. They played with a hobbled quarterback who really didn't have a lot of mobility. They found a running back, perhaps. Well, we already knew Montgomery was playing running back, but looked really good today. But what was your overall take on the game and some of the things you saw on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I think overall the play of the running game just in general was astounding. Montgomery, he's made plays that I haven't seen a Green Bay running back make since probably Amon Green, just slipping out of tackles, turning a 2-yard loss into a 61-yard gain on that one big break that he had early on. And I think that's it's a testament to the offensive line kind of playing a little better in the run game, but also just Montgomery's natural ability. And now that he's really starting to settle into this running back role, I think it really suits him. I think it suits his skill set and his body style and his general abilities. And I think you're going to see him definitely looked at as a running back for the long haul moving forward, because I don't think you can ignore what he did today and what he's done these last couple games. And then that Christian Michael run, too, which was great. And I do hope that they bring him back for another go-around next year. And if you have a trio of, let's say, Montgomery, Michael, and then potentially bringing Lacy back, that's a dangerous-looking set of running backs for any defensive face.
Yeah, you know, in Texas, it's one thing, too, where, okay, they get that interception. I think it was the second one by Clinton Dix, right, in the third quarter.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, they're up 20-10. I'm going to go get a haircut because I need to look pretty this week, right? And so I head down to my sports clips, and I hear, you know, the interception, and next thing you know, I'm going in for a haircut, and, you know, I see Christian Michael go in on that 42-yard touchdown run, right? My eyesight goes – bonkers because I have to take off my glasses when I get my hair cut. What happened after they build that 17-point lead wiped out that advantage where you're hearing on the radio Wayne Larrabee say dagger, like with a minute left in the third quarter, if I'm not mistaken. What happened in that final quarter that, I mean, Matt Barkley looks good to me, you know, which, you know, obviously he's a former USC quarterback. He's from Matt or Die High School, same as Kyle Pennison for the Badgers. What happened that led, you know, obviously there has to be some offense stuff, too, with them getting off the field too quick that led to that as well. But what happened, what led that Bears resurgence in the final quarter?
Well, it looked like the Packers did what they tend to do so often when they have a 2 or 3 score lead, and that's they went back into a deep off coverage instead of playing the press man that they play so well, and they just gave a huge cushion underneath. And Barkley started taking advantage of the open receivers underneath those deep coverages and letting his guys make some plays after the catch and just completing easy passes. And I think you saw them start to build some confidence and get some sustained drives going and get Barkley in a rhythm. And then eventually you saw Demaryius Randle. He just got benched after he got flat out run over by Bellamy for that one touchdown. He didn't play much of the fourth quarter at all. So you're sitting there with Gunter, Rollins, and Hyde as your 3 cornerbacks, and playing a lot of man coverage with Micah Hyde on some of those big Bears receivers. Doesn't tend to work out so well. And then like you mentioned, Scott, the offense not giving them any help with going 3 and out a couple times in that fourth quarter. That was extremely frustrating to watch. So I think all those situations kind of combined to lead to that. You had questionable scheming with that off coverage. You had a good young cornerback who gets sat down, and then good offense, you can't keep your defense off the field, and that's a recipe for disaster.
You know, I thought the same thing. I think Barkley's probably getting some extended playing time. He's starting to look like the player they thought he could be when he got to the pros. Alshon Jeffrey's still a great receiver when he's on the field and not injured or suspended. But speaking of quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers looked good throwing the ball, but he clearly looked hobbled by the calf injury. There were a couple times, even when he did run the ball, where he clearly would have normally outrun the guy chasing him and got caught from behind a couple times. You got to tip your hat. He gutted it out, did enough for this team to win, but going forward, there's really not a chance for him to take the break. Going through the last two games, and if they're able to make the playoffs, there isn't going to be an extended time for that injury to heal. So is it something that you think can heal along the way, or is it just going to hobble him the rest of however many games the Packers have left in their season?
Well, I think it's a lot similar to the 2014 season down the stretch, where you saw him get that calf injury to his left calf against Tampa late in the season, and he was limited the whole rest of the season. Playoffs included. And even in that year when they had the benefit of a playoff bye, he still came out and wasn't quite himself against Dallas or against Seattle in the playoffs. So I don't expect him to magically get better by next week or potentially by a playoff run or anything like that. I think you're going to see this same sort of the Aaron Rodgers who can still kind of dance around in the pocket a little bit, but he just isn't going to have that scrambling ability that's made him so lethal, especially on third downs earlier on this season.
We're here with Tex Western from Acme Packing Company. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter at Tex Western, all one word. Follow Acme Packing Company as well. Great stuff. Don't get a chance to talk with Tex as much as we'd like to. I know we're all busy. Especially with everything going on. It's great having him on the show. Yeah, let's talk about Davante Adams, right? This is obviously a couple of critical drops where this is obviously left 8 points off the board, but field goal drops, points still put on the board, right? But quite a bit, 2 touchdown passes, the game not out of reach, but at that point drastically is altered. What do you make out of that? Is it just a bad day? Obviously, he's had some issues in the past, but is it just a bad day? And he's had an overall really solid, good 2016 campaign, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think you hit it on the head. It was just a bad day for him. And, he had one really nice play at the sideline after that first drop where, Rodgers went back to him on the next drive and he made a nice play and got a first down out of it. It sucks, and we're probably not talking about that nearly as much if those drops happen, at the 50-yard line along the sideline instead of in the end zone. He's been too important to the Packers offense all year long. He's had too many big games and too many big catches and tough catches for you to just be too down on the guy overall. I think he'll bounce back. I think he'll have a good last couple games this season and show the form that he's showed most of the rest of the year.
Well, let me follow up, and this is no indictment of Jake. I know you didn't mean this to go this direction, but I know with some fans, just listening to fans and being in chat rooms and listening to the post-game shows, I think Davante Adams is permanently scarred with Jermichael Finley-itis, meaning that
yep.
no matter what he does, his mistakes will always be more magnified than any other receiver or any other skill position on his team, just because for whatever reason he got in the fans' doghouse last year, and I just don't think with some people he's ever going to get out of it.
I agree 100%. He's, in a way, I feel like he's the anti-Jeff Janis or Jared Aberderis of this team, that
right.
those guys got a pass for so long. And despite not really ever doing anything, and, you know, I will still, you know, go on the record saying I think last year his bad season was probably 75% due to that injury and 25%, you know, due to just poor play on his part. I think he gutted it out when the team really needed him out there with Nelson out with the ACL. I think he kind of sacrificed, you know, his health for the good of the team of getting another receiver out there. And Aaron Rodgers has stuck with him through all those issues, and you know, he's blossomed with a great season this year. And so I think I think he said it best. He said it on Twitter this afternoon that, look, Davante Adams had a bad day today, but the important thing was the Packers got the win and we kept on moving. And I think that was a really good move by him to tweet that out and just acknowledge that, yeah, I had a bad day, but ultimately, you know, the team was able to pull off a victory.
Well, there goes my Jared Aberderis got screwed.com.org that I was going to post up there on that note. You know, but kind of looking broader, Detroit lost to New York Giants. Obviously, I'm sure Mike McCarthy sending Ben McAdoo a nice gift card or a nice bottle of champagne for helping out on that note. Packers are only one game out of the NFC North. Minnesota falls to 7-7 after getting shellacked. You know, by the Indianapolis Colts, which is looking like, you know, they're 7-7 right now and only one game out of the AFC South, for that matter, which with Tennessee of all people, which that with their win against Kansas City, crazy on that end. But how do you see this NFC North playing out, Peck, over the last couple of weeks?
Well, you look at it and the Packers need to win two games to lock up the North. If they win this next week and then win at Detroit in 2 weeks, they've got the tiebreaker over Detroit, and they pull even and they win the division. I think it's going to happen. You know, maybe I'm looking through green-colored glasses, but I think this team is on a roll. I think they get back home next week. They've been in Minnesota, and then you get Rodgers without having to deal with the elements quite so much. I look for them to play well in Detroit and hopefully pull that one off. So it's really great to have seen the Giants pull that off and essentially give the Packers control of their own playoff destiny again. That was big. They needed either, you know, one of these two games with the Lions in New York or in Dallas next week. Now that they got that loss out of the way, you still obviously want to cheer for Dallas next week to beat him just on the off chance that something happens with the Vikings in Green Bay next week. But, yeah, Packers are back in control, and that's a really good place to be, and certainly not a place where 4 weeks ago I would have guessed that we would be in this position.
You know, Tex, you talk about being in control of their destiny, and I, too, think they're going to win these last two games. But a lot of times scheduling, you know, you can look at it at the beginning of the season, but it really comes down to momentum. The Packers played Minnesota in week two. They're opening up a new building. The hopes were high. They were talking potential division title after getting Sam Bradford in a trade. And now they're the Packers getting a Minnesota team that looks like they're ready to just throw the towels in after this game that we saw them against Indianapolis. So it's funny how sometimes you catch teams in the right spot, in the right cushion of a schedule, things that actually the dominoes might just fall in the Packers' favor because of it.
Yeah, and it is funny, especially with, you know, how much we were complaining about the Packers' schedule at the beginning of the season with that long road stretch in the middle of the year, you know, all those tough road trips. It's a little weird just how it's played out. And on scheduling, there's one thing that I want to point out too, and it's I think worth mentioning, is the Packers play the Vikings on Christmas Eve and the early games on Saturday. The Lions play the Cowboys on Monday night next week, so the Packers are actually going to have two full days more rest than the Lions will going into Week 17. So that's something just to keep an eye on, and I'm certainly glad that it's that case rather than the opposite being the case.
Tex, it's always great having you on, my friend. We'll let you get back to your last few hours out in Los Angeles. Enjoy the Santa Monica Pier. Enjoy, hopefully you enjoy your flight out there. Hopefully LAX ain't too bad for you. We'll have to have you on in the next couple of weeks as they lead up to their playoff run.
You got it, guys. Always a pleasure. Go Pack, go.
Guys, that's Tex Western from Acme Packing Company. Once again, follow him on Twitter, at Tex Western. Check out all the great stuff they do at acmepackingcompany.com. I'm going to take one quick break, come back, talk some more NFL, talk some more of this and that. Our holiday edition of the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza, brought to you by Bucky's Fifth Quarter, continues in just a couple minutes. Welcome back. Always great talking with Tex Western here on the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza. And, you know, we're going to keep this short. We're going to keep this podcast pretty short for everyone, get everyone back to watching some more Sunday Night Football. If you're a WWE fan, watching Roadblock, other stuff. Quick plug, by the way, for the book, Walk On This Way, the ongoing tradition of the Wisconsin football walk-on tradition. It is a you guys know we have a book signing on at the West Side Barnes and Nobles here in Madison that comes up on Tuesday, December 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. Again, it's the Barnes and Noble at Westtown here in Madison. Brady Ewing, our good friend, former Wisconsin captain, former fullback, former NFL veteran with his time in Atlanta and Jacksonville. Before he came back to Madison, he'll be here and signing some books for everyone. Make sure you guys come out there. From what I've heard about the books, hey, this is some amazing stuff. We're really fortunate to see so many people picking up, and it's been flying off the shelves at that Westtown Barnes & Noble, among other places. Amazon needed to be restocked, so really appreciate you guys picking up the book. If you guys have any feedback, let us know. Put it up on Amazon, email us. Tweet at us. We're all about that. So at least one more book signing in the books, hopefully coming up this week. And also check me out on NBC 15. Joel Nellis and I will hopefully be on there tomorrow between 4:10 and 4:20 on their 4 o'clock broadcast talking about the book. So you'll see us on air. And I got that's why I was at said sports clips, trying to make myself look pretty besides the holidays, but also just trying to look dapper for our little TV shot. So hopefully my face does not break the camera. So on that note, you know, maybe talking about other Badgers, you know, I would say some Badgers in the NFL, maybe this segues into the rest of the NFL, right? We've already talked about, Scotty, the Lions losing, the fact that the Vikings lost. So that puts the Packers in really prime position right now to continue their push for a playoff run, and the pieces are falling in place to make that run that Aaron Rodgers spoke about weeks ago. Other things, maybe the one major note for the obviously the Bengals lost to Pittsburgh today, but Alex Erickson having another fine year, fine game with he had a 72-yard kickoff return. Wasn't a touchdown, but again, he's up there right now, according to I'm just looking at some of the kick returns, Right now he is, I'm just taking a look at the yardage, in terms of yardage for Erickson. He's actually second in the league at 689 yards for 24 returns, long of an 84. The Darlington native, former Wisconsin captain, doing quite well for himself. Bengals not so well right now, sitting at 5-8-1. Probably not making it to the playoffs, obviously. But they're still obviously.
They were eliminated today. A couple of teams were eliminated. A few things of note, though, since we last got together. So two coaches have lost their jobs so far. Jeff Fisher got fired a week ago, which was an interesting story. Not that he got fired, because he kind of deserved to get fired, I think, between the way the team has played to how long he hemmed and hawed on his quarterback to how he kind of alienated Eric Dickerson and some other former Rams that played in Los Angeles. So that wasn't surprising. What was surprising is the news that he had signed an extension, that actually the extension happened in the preseason, but the news got released 2 weeks before he got fired. Just very weird the way the whole timing situation of that whole story went. So there was that. And then Gus Bradley lost his job today after Houston came back from behind to beat Jacksonville. Jacksonville, you talk about blowing a big lead. They were up huge. Houston looked dead in the water. They benched Brock Osweiler, brought in Tom Savage, and then Jacksonville goes and blows the game, and Gus Bradley gets fired. Now, here's what I do find interesting, though. And we'll kind of go over the playoff stuff. But I don't have a problem that they decided to fire these two coaches. Both of them really, truly deserved it. I hear great things about Gus Bradley. I do. But he was 14-48 or 14-46 since he took over that
job.
Yeah,
sounds about right. Yep.
Not a surprise. What I don't understand, though, is unless you think your next coaching candidate is whoever you're going to give the job to for the next 2 weeks, why don't you just take 2 weeks to fire him? Like, I don't understand the firing after week 14 or week 15, game 14, when there's only two games left to play. And even if you think that you have the next coach on your coaching staff, and you give him the interim job, what is he going to do with this team in 2 weeks that's going to sway you one way or the other to make you think that he's the right guy for the job? Like, it's one of those things. I just never understood the timing of a firing like this late in the season. If it's week six, fine. But it's week 15, man. What are you doing?
Yeah. It's, if you feel bad for any person that gets fired like that. I mean, Fisher, it sounds like he burned his bridges. I mean, obviously, there, Dickerson's the main one where they had the public spat on that note. But, Gus Bradley, you think you'd wait till after the season. Obviously, they all want to compete to win. But also, like, if they get motivated, maybe the win hurts their draft spot stock. Though I may say, let me say that where most players, I'm guaranteeing, don't feel that way, where they want to win and end on a bright note. But it is sad. I know that talking with a couple of, I know with one former player that they liked, Gus Bradley, and just kind of the energy that he brought to the franchise, especially one that had amidst the talks about, obviously their owner, and then even just rumors about London. It's a nice thing to have, sounds like, he brought the energy there from Seattle. We'll see what comes of it. And it's, we'll see, obviously, they'll need some help, coming up, and we'll see if they can get Blake Bortles right again. Right.
That's what did him in. I mean, look, the defense improved from last year, but Blake Bortles took a huge step back. And along with it, and you know, it's cause and effect. I mean, Blake Bortles took a step back. Therefore, Allen Robinson didn't look as good. Allen Hurns didn't look as good. I mean, there was a lot of hype for that offense coming into the season, and Blake Bortles being the next great young quarterback and ready to take the next step, and that certainly didn't happen. So, but when you look at the playoffs, now, you look at every division, and what happened today is New England clinched their spot. They'll have a bye in the playoffs, and Oakland clinched a playoff spot. So So those are the things that although even with Oakland clinching a playoff spot, they haven't clinched a division yet simply because they have two losses to Kansas City. Kansas City a game behind them, although Kansas City certainly didn't help their cause. Losing to Tennessee and forcing a still three-way tie with Houston, Tennessee, and now Indianapolis. Well, Indianapolis is 7-7, but Tennessee and Houston now tied up on top in that division. And then Pittsburgh getting a win and Baltimore getting a win, so that's a two-team race there. Obviously, in the NFC, Seattle's got their division clinched. Dallas has theirs. It looks like it's going to take a miracle for the Giants to not make the playoffs as a wild card. And then, you know, really it's Atlanta, and then it's going to come down to whoever wins the North, and then does Tampa Bay bump the team that loses the North out of the last playoff spot? So, you know, things are starting to kind of take some shape, look a little bit more clearer as we progress here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's coming back next week, we'll have an episode. We'll highlight what goes on with the Packers and Vikings. We'll probably do it after the holidays for sure with everyone because I know that the Packers play on Christmas Eve against the Vikings. They'll have and then the matchup with the Cowboys and the Lions set for after that. We'll break that down. We'll see how this team looks heading in there, and if they don't lay an egg at Lambeau against the Vikings and that are in a tailspin. By the way, nice thing, it was reported, I forgot who reported it, looks like the Viking Stadium is actually going to be open for the homeless because of the sub-zero temperature, so that's a very nice thing it's a commendable thing from the Vikings organization to open the doors to the homeless so that they have a warm place to stay. Tonight, obviously, with temperatures are just frigid. For those that aren't listening here in Wisconsin, it is frigid. It is cold, but it's supposed to be a nice little warm-up. At least it's supposed to get to the 30s, I think, by you're looking at Tuesday. So, but yeah, nice thing on the Vikings, and even though their organization or their team right now not doing well. So, anything else you want to close up with before we take it home, Scotty?
No, that's about it. Tomorrow you can catch me on What's the Score. It's a great podcast game show. In fact, you can find it in a lot of places, but the best place I would say to look for it is iHeartRadio. Look under their podcast, What's the Score. Dan Pfeiffer is on the panel with me tomorrow. It should be fun. It's their Christmas edition, so I don't know what they're going to have in store for us, but I guess tune in and find out.
Excellent. I'm excited to watch that. You guys check that out. Check us out there. It's going to be a lot of fun with Scotty obviously doing his thing and hopefully owning that competition on his end. Check me out, NBC 15 tomorrow. Joel Nell's talking about the Walk On This Way book. Obviously Tuesday night, hopefully if you guys are in Madison or around the surrounding areas, 6 to 8 p.m., Barnes & Noble, Westtown, Madison. Brady Ewing will join us. It'll be a good time. Hope to see you guys out there. We've gotten some substantial buzz from that store especially. So, but yeah, on that note, wish you guys all for those that celebrate Christmas, a very Merry Christmas. Everyone, a very happy holiday season. Please be safe on the roads, obviously, with this for those in the state or around the Midwest. A lot of snow, a lot of hopefully not bad drivers, but we know how it goes around this region. But yeah, guys, just stay safe, enjoy family time if you guys are celebrating with families or just even close to them. And we'll catch you guys back next week on the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza. For the Polish Rifle, Scott Wisniewski, this is Jay Kokorowski. Do zobaczenia, my friends.
Accordion solo, American Polka, played by Mr. John J. Kimball, Edison Records. Thank you.
Hey, Al, just a quick note, too. We let you guys go. Just want to let you guys know, too, from judging off of what we just heard, it is a fake the U.S. Bank Stadium homeless shelter tweet was fake. Unfortunately, that is not happening. So I just wanted to apologize to you guys. It looks like, obviously, I need to check our sources a little bit better on that. So apologies that it does, apparently, according to Seth Kaplan and Chris Amacero, they said that it is a fake tweet. That's not happening. Wish that was happening, but that is not. So apologies again. So the Vikings will not hold at the U.S. Bank Stadium, the homeless shelter, for due to cold temperatures. But I guess just have a great week. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you guys soon here on the Kielbasa Kings Sports Extravaganza, brought to you by Bucky's Fifth Quarter.